Let me just say a couple of things before I transition. There are some resources or books of mine that I bought. I bought four of them here. And just to let you know what they are about, next to Jesus Christ, my dad has had the greatest influence on my life. He was the grandson of a slave. Incredible story. And this book is not so much a biography of him, but it's the lessons that I learned about integrity from my dad. Never walk away. Lessons on integrity from a father who lived it. Unbelievable man, played baseball in the old Negro Leagues, lost his right eye in a coal mining accident in the offseason, and just phenomenal man, went on to work for 30 years in a warehouse, but the portrait and picture of integrity. Another one that I wrote here is A Passionate Commitment, Recapturing Your Sense of Purpose, How to Keep the Driving Force and Fire in Our Walk and Relationship with God. And a few years ago, I wrote this book, For a Time We Cannot See. I'm very concerned that in the New Testament, eternity is the driving force for the Christian life, and how little we talk about that motivation, and that's what this one is about. And my most recent book is entitled Leadership as an Identity, the Four Traits of Those Who Wield Lasting Influence from the from the Scriptures. And so encourage you to get that. I was telling Karen, these kinds of events, I would choose to personally do a little bit different than what we've chosen to do in these couple of presentations here. I started to speak on roles in marriage, the Ephesians 5, and to get back to the basics, which we need to do. But the more I prayed and thought about our time together, the more I want to do something a little bit different. I want to speak about manhood in the hearing of the women here, and I do want you to listen to what I have to say. I happen to believe, and this is coming more out of my heart and burden than out of a lot of structured, prepared stuff, although I am prepared to say what I'm going to say here. But I just want you to hear me today. We are living in the most critical moment in history ever. This is not hyperbole, but we're living in the most critical moment ever for the family. And the reason for that has to do with the confusion about maleness. What it means to be a man. Some women don't like for me to say that, those who have more of an egalitarian bent on things, but the statistics don't lie. The truth of the matter is you can chart the demise of the family and the demise of marriage. You can chart that with the confusion of manhood. And we're living in a devastatingly dangerous time in our culture and in the future of families and this society. And this is not overstatement. The reason why we're having trouble with leadership in government, leadership in our institutions, leadership out in society when it comes to men, is because men don't know who they are. We have been significantly feminized. Every 28 days, a woman is powerfully, graphically reminded of who she is. And don't miss this. A man only knows he's a man when his father or significant male role model tells him so. Ladies, manhood is imprinted. You can go to sleep and forget everything else I'm going to say, but manhood is imprinted. It's imprinted. It was always meant to be that way. It was always meant to be defined visually by another man. It was always meant to be called up externally by another man. And women internally have more of a relational bent. Now, that's a little bit of a generalization, but generally speaking, that is true. And so those 28 days when that comes around, she's reminded of her identity. But a man is only imprinted. Now, let me frame this again by saying this. Every child is born with two broad categories of emotional need. Now, they got more than two emotional needs, but I mean two broad categories of emotional needs. And I really want you to hear me on this. Really want you to hear me on this. They're born with the need for nurture. touch, warmth, and affirmation. That's a role not exclusively, but primarily of the mother. Not exclusively, but primarily of the mother. Paradoxically, every child, and this is a paradox, paradoxically, every child is born with a need for daily doses of discipline and denial, accountability. Now, don't even think about going outside until you finish your homework. No, you're not going to watch 3 hours of TV every night. You're only going to be on the internet half an hour each evening. No, you're going to eat your peas before you have that ice cream. And they need that structure. That's the role. And by the way, another piece to that accountability is life direction and mission. Every child needs intentionality. They have to have that. Now, that's a role not exclusively, but primarily of the father. And ladies, I want you to hear this. Boys, especially boys, who grow up with all nurture, but limited or no accountability. Let me go to the other side. Boys who grow up with all accountability, strong accountability in their homes, but limited nurture, typically grow up to be high achievers, but the inability to sustain relationships. By the way, Ted Turner says that's been his motivation for years. He had a father who was oppressively direct in his life, and much of his success in life was for less than noble reasons. He was living to try to please a dead daddy that had all accountability, limited nurture in his life. Now, check this out, ladies, and I want you to hear this, particularly those of you who have boys who are 12 and younger, hear me on this. Boys who grow up with a lot of nurture but disengaged fathers, limited accountability, this is going to surprise you, have the tendency to grow up with violent, self-destructive behavior. And the reason for that is that they've never learned to internalize discipline. They've never learned to say no to their impulses or to redirect them. They've got a lot of rescuing and a lot of delivering and a lot of nurturing. And they never learned the most positive word in the English language, which is no, which frees them up to focus and to be what they need to be. And the problem is that this whole issue is exacerbated because the truth of the matter is the culture no longer affirms maleness. It affirms some androgynous egalitarianism that de-emphasizes the roles of the sexes. And so we have difficulty with guys showing up and being consistent or following through. And one of the great ministries you guys have is to redefine that. And God's anointed FCA. I tell you, I see what you guys are doing in Atlanta in these urban areas, and I weep with tears of joy. Because you dudes have stepped in and redefined for these urban kids and the discipline that they're getting and the focus that they're getting, that's absolutely incredible. Now, I'm going to do something that is embarrassingly obvious. But I want to walk you through the five phases of a man's life. Now, I got to give credit. Dennis Rainey and I are best friends in the world. He's the president of Family Life, and we are really, really good. In fact, we share the same birthday, and I remind him he's 2 years older than me, but that's another issue. Dennis and I, years ago, began talking about these issues, and he's the one that really salted my mind on these things. One of the main reasons, and I want you to hear me, one of the main reasons why we have this epidemic of confusion about who we are as men in this culture is because we don't have stages four and five of a man's life are disengaged, if not non-existent. There are five phases of a man's life, five phases. And what gives definition to phase three, manhood, are these stages four and five. And when you don't have stages four and five, you don't have manhood. Now, you got men who, you got guys who are 60-year-olds and some 70-year-olds who are not men. And let me tell you what these five phases are. I mean, you could guess them. They're obvious, very painfully obvious. Phase number one is childhood. Childhood. Now, don't be too quick to move on from there, because childhood establishes the foundation of where men need to go. The most important thing about childhood is the expression delayed gratification. That's what you're teaching in childhood. It's characterized by control in an appropriate sense. You're controlling them. You're helping them to understand framework for life. You're helping them not to be random. You're teaching them the value of time, and you're teaching them the value of relationships. You're teaching them structure. You're teaching them that you can't do what you feel like doing whenever you feel like doing it. You're teaching all those things in childhood. And when a child does not have time to be a child, but inappropriately introduced to other things, something is missing in the foundation of their lives. And this is particularly true in boys. And so delayed gratification is the North Star of childhood. And from 0 to 10 years old, that's what you're drilling into them, delayed gratification, the value of it, and structure, and the importance of it. Now, I want to spend my time on phases 2 and 3.